Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For the third week in a row, our gospel for the day has taken us back to the night before Jesus died. And with good reason, because Jesus crammed in a lot of teaching on that evening, preparing his disciples not only for his death and resurrection, but also for his ascension to the Father, his going to the Father, and life on earth after his ascension. That time in which all of us have lived our entire lives between Jesus' ascension and his coming again at the end of the age. So his words also serve to prepare us for our lives as Christians living in what we might call foreign territory, because the devil is still the prince of this world, and we are still in danger from him at all times. Jesus assures us in today's gospel that even though we're surrounded by enemies, we have the ear of God the Father. And more than just the promise that he hears us, we even have the promise that he will grant our requests that are made in Jesus' name. As Jesus explains to his disciples, Christians, and only Christians, have the Father's ear. If you recall from 2 weeks ago, Jesus had told his disciples some things that they didn't understand, and they wanted to ask him about it, what he meant by this going away, and they wouldn't see him for a little while, and then they would see him. It was a pressing question. They all had it, and they didn't ask for embarrassment or from fear, but it turned out Jesus didn't need them to ask the question. He told them the questions that were in their minds that they wanted to ask, and then he told them the answers to their questions, as much as they could bear at that time. Our gospel picks up from there. Jesus says to his disciples, "In that day, in that time following my resurrection from the dead and my ascension into heaven, you will not ask me any questions." Not only because Jesus would no longer be living with them, living in the same room, walking around with them as he had been before, but because he already knew all things, and they would realize that. He knew all things, including the questions and uncertainties that were in their hearts. They wouldn't need to ask their questions. We don't even need to ask, because Jesus knows the questions of our hearts and gives us the answers that we need through his word and by his spirit, even without having to hear our questions. As the disciple said at the end of today's gospel, "See, now you are speaking plainly. You are not speaking in riddles. Now we know that you know all things and that you do not need anyone to question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God." And yet, even though he, as our God, doesn't need to hear our questions, he already knows them, he explains to his disciples that God the Father wants to hear our requests. "Truly, truly, I tell you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Now, Jesus' disciples had been praying to God the Father their entire lives, but never before in the name of Jesus specifically. Let's talk about what that means. It means, first of all, to approach God the Father in prayer through faith in Jesus as the beloved Son of God, as the promised Messiah, as the one who gives us access to God through his death on the cross. It means to enter the heavenly throne room by walking through the door that is Jesus. If you try to enter by any other door, access will be denied. But if you approach God the Father through the door that He has provided, He will let you in, and He will hear you, and He will grant your requests. That's why only Christians have the Father's ear. But to ask God the Father for His help in the name of Jesus also means to pray in the same way that Jesus prayed, as Jesus prayed, humbly, sincerely, with confidence that our Father will hear us because we're praying in the name of His beloved Son, to whom the Father would never deny any good thing. And since the name of Jesus has been placed on each of us in holy baptism, we should be confident that our Father in heaven thinks of each Christian in exactly the same way as He thinks of His only begotten Son. Third, praying in Jesus' name also means praying for the things Jesus has taught us to pray for. Those things are summarized nicely in Jesus' prayer, otherwise known as the Lord's Prayer, and in its seven petitions. We are to pray for the hallowing or the sanctifying of our Father's name, for the coming of His kingdom, for His will to be done, for our daily bread today, for the forgiveness of our sins, for help against temptation, and for deliverance from every evil. Those seven petitions are general enough in their scope that they don't leave anything out, and yet they leave everything up to God as to how He will grant those petitions. And that's intentional, because we don't usually know the best way to pray or all the things specifically we should pray for. So we simply pray, "Thy kingdom come." And we know that God our Father will grant His Holy Spirit, who brings the kingdom of God to us and to the world in just the right way. We don't know all the things that we specifically need each day, and so we simply pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," and so on. When we ask our Father for those things, leaving it up to Him to grant them in the time and in the way He sees fit, we are praying in the name of Jesus. And we can be absolutely sure that He will grant those requests. Now, you can ask God the Father for other things too, for things He hasn't specifically promised to give, as long as you're not asking for anything that goes against God's will, as He's revealed it in His Word. You might well ask for healing from a specific disease, for yourself or for someone else. You may ask for a certain job to come along or a certain opportunity to be given. You may well ask for relief from tyranny or oppression. That's good and well, as long as whenever you pray for something God hasn't promised to give, you add the same phrase Jesus did, "Not my will, but your will be done." Now, what confidence do we have that our Father will hear us and help us when we ask Him for things in Jesus' name? Well, first we have Jesus' command and promise in today's gospel. Ask. He's commanded it. And then the promise, "You will receive." That's great reason for confidence. Enough reason to be confident. And yet, we Christians have more than that. We have also the full assurance of our Father's love for us. "In that day you will ask in my name. I am not telling you that I will ask the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God." You know, when we talk about praying to the Virgin Mary or any of the saints and how we shouldn't do that because it's not as if we need Mary to take our prayers to God on our behalf, we don't even need Jesus to be that kind of intermediary so that we can't go to God the Father directly because he's just too great and holy. We can go to Jesus and he'll take our prayers to God the Father for us. He tells us explicitly in this gospel it's not that way. I don't even have to carry your prayers to the Father for you. You have direct access to the Father. Now, it's going through the door that is Jesus in order to get there, but when you get there through him, you have that access. Because he loves you, and you know there are different words for love in the Bible, in the Greek language. God so loved the world, that's agape. He loved the world in such a way that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's the love of commitment and devotion and genuine concern for the well-being and happiness of another person. But that's not the word Jesus uses here in this text. He uses the word love, that's in Greek philos. That means the love of friendship, the love of liking someone, the love of having common likes and common interests with someone. God the Father has called you, believers in Christ, his beloved friends. He likes you. Why? Because you're so likable? No. Because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. If you gave away the most precious thing to you, the thing that you treasure the most, to someone else because you knew they desperately needed that thing, and the other person received that gift and said, "Bah, what kind of gift is this? This thing's worthless." You wouldn't like that person very much. On the other hand, if the person looked at that gift and said, "This is the most wonderful gift anyone has ever given me," that would cause you to like that person a little bit more. Well, so it is with God the Father's most precious gift of his Son. Your treasuring of him actually causes God the Father to treasure you. Now, how is it that you came to treasure Jesus, that you came to view him as your friend, that you came to believe in him? Well, that's the Father's doing too. Jesus says elsewhere, no one can come to the Father except unless my Father draws him. Or he said to Peter, after Peter confessed Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." So it's ultimately the Father's doing that we believe in Jesus and love Jesus. And yet the Father still credits that to us in his grace. He still treats us as his friends, as his allies. We're on the same side because we're on the side of Jesus. And so the Father is committed to hearing the prayers that his children offer up in Jesus' name and helping us in every need, because we're no longer strangers and aliens and enemies of God. No, we've been reconciled to God through faith in his Son, and he loves us. He thinks highly of us all because of Jesus. And so it is that Christians, and only Christians, have the Father's ear. You have the ear of God the Father, and a command and invitation to fill his ear with your praise and thanksgiving, with your prayers and petitions and requests. Now, as James said in today's epistle, don't just be hearers of that, but be doers of the word. Don't just hear that you have God's ear. Use it. Bring your requests before him, and not just here in church on Sunday mornings. Think throughout the day about what you need, about what others need, and about all the petitions that Jesus has taught you to make, and make those petitions throughout the day in Jesus' name. things are not safe in this world. We do truly live in enemy territory, the devil's territory, and there are troubles and temptations on every side. There are so many things we don't know, so many things we have no control over at all. But we have been given a powerful tool and a mighty weapon to ask our God, in Jesus' name, to come to our aid and to deliver us from every evil. No one else in all the world, save for Christians, has been given such a gift. So let's use it continually. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.